This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. You know, this is a different one than any of us have ever experienced. We were driving in this morning, and I was thinking we'd normally be in sunrise service right now, but today's a little different. But that does not change the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And that it does not change the fact that we celebrate all throughout this world, mainly online, which is really, really unique. Most people are sitting here on a service like this, but the reality is that we're not. But that doesn't mean Jesus is not alive. That doesn't mean we can't worship. Maybe you dressed up in your Easter best. You could send some pictures in. You can send them to info@gatewayfellowship.com. But we're here this morning, a very small team complying with the governor's orders. And you'll see on stage, we're kind of separated, and so that we're 6 feet apart and a very minimal production team. But we are here this morning to worship. And Jesus is on the throne. He is risen, and that's why we celebrate this morning.
There exists a love far greater than we will ever understand. A love prophesied for ages. Sent to disrupt the reign of darkness. Challenge the skeptics. A love that quenches our thirst. Seeks after the sick. And mends the broken. A love that came to our rescue. Despite our betrayal and our denial, we bore the weight of our sin. Facing death by being nailed to a cross. And while darkness appeared victorious, this love emerged from the grave.
Who you are, I know. about it. You're king over all. And I know who you are. So come hell or high water, you're still on the throne. You are faithful and able. You're in control. There's no question about it.
He paid it all.
gathers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. The love so great, the cross of Christ. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. The love so great, the cross of Christ.
Oh, we worship you. See the Lamb. See the
Lamb of God. See the Father. Savior's arms are open wide. Her love so great, the cross of Christ.
Well, happy Easter, everyone. I'm glad that you're joining us here at Gateway. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Mario, and here we are at home, wanting to take in the service, being safe, being healthy. My wife Michelle's here with us, and we got Ethan and Marcelo, and we are so glad to be able to join you this morning as we take some time to worship. And so we just want to encourage you to join in as the team leads us. And one of the things that we do during Easter is to have a call and response. And the way that that goes is it says that he is risen, and then you would say he is risen indeed. And so our family will say he is risen, and then you'll get to say that he is risen indeed when Jason comes on. So you ready?
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All the earth singing, all
Helps the hurting, heals the sick, just like the video said when we first watched this morning. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There is no one higher. He is Jesus. He went to the cross willingly to bridge the chasm, the gap between God the Heavenly Father and all of mankind. He is Jesus. Wherever you are this morning, turn your eyes, but most importantly, turn your heart to Jesus.
Who will call on the hurting, making perfect the torn? Who will stand through the ages, giving rest to the Oh, He is Jesus. He is Jesus. Christ our Savior. He is Jesus. Who will carry our burden?
turn our sorrow to song. Gave his life on the cross, making right what went wrong. Holy is Jesus. He is Jesus. Christ our Savior.
Good morning and happy Easter. I love Easter. It's actually my favorite holiday of the year. I wish we could be together this morning. I miss seeing so many of you and treasure our times together. But thankfully, the Church of Jesus goes forward even when we can't be physically together. I'd like to lead us in an Easter prayer together this morning. Let's all go before the throne of God together. You might want to gather your loved ones and then we'll pray together. You know, many in the world like to hold their hands out as they pray as a sign of their need to receive from the Lord. Perhaps you'd like to join me in that posture as I pray. Lord Jesus, We're grateful this Easter day. As we just sang, you are the great King of glory, seated on high. You are the Lord God Almighty, strong in compassion and mercy. You were there when the stars were hung in the heavens and the world was formed. You are the source of all good things and all life. You are so very creative and so very good. You are holy, and you are worthy of all of our praise and worship and adoration. Lord, not only are you the powerful creator God and the King of the universe, you are personal and loving. You came to earth to willingly give up your life for each person. You shed your blood for us, for me. You allowed your body to be broken for each of us. You died for me and in my place to pay the penalty for my sins. Oh, the thought of it. But Lord, you did not stay in the grave. You rose from the dead. You conquered death itself. The enemy is crushed and death is defeated. Forever you reign, as we sang. Lord, you delivered us from the domain of darkness to the domain of light. You paid the penalty for all my sins, past, present, and future. You've called us your friends. You've even adopted us into your eternal family. We are your sons and daughters. So, Lord, this Easter morning, we rejoice. We rejoice that you loved us enough to die for each one of us on the cross. We rejoice that you didn't stay in the grave, but rose again. We rejoice that you've adopted us into your family. We rejoice that we're destined to spend eternity with you, enjoying your very presence and being made more like Jesus every day, forever and ever. How can we ever express our great gratitude, Lord? Help us this Easter day to have hearts filled to overflowing with the joy of knowing you. You are worthy, Lord, of all of our worship, our praise, our adoration, corporately and individually. We give you thanks with full hearts this Easter morning. For Lord, you are risen. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Souls of all who come to the Father are restored.
sing that one again. Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King.
Praise to the Father, the King of Kings, and our Lord, Lord of Lords. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that's the affirmation, isn't it, of followers of Jesus everywhere. Just a Friday, we were thankful and paused and remembered the cross, Jesus' sacrifice. But today, we lift up, don't we? We lift up a holy hallelujah and a shout and an amen and a yahoo. And whatever that looks like for you today, because Jesus is alive, and that's what we declare on this day. Thank you for being with us this morning. You know, I even thought about maybe like coming in my PJs, but I was thinking like, that's probably not a good idea. And I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll set a cup of coffee here, and what do they call it, a hot cross bun or something like that, or a donut or something here, and kind of join with you, because I know that's what like a lot of you are doing, and I think that's just really cool, and that's really great. Let me ask you this question. How's your social distancing coming? Or maybe the isolation, maybe that's a better word. How's all that working out for you? For some of us, right, it's a little bit more of a struggle, especially if you're an extrovert like I am. Like, I just love having people around. I'm so loving the time with my wife, but you know, it's hard for some of us, isn't it? So like, you know, we're learning to do different things. And for some of us, so Jen and I, every now and then, we just got to go for a ride. So we get in the car and we just drive, and that's it. And then we come home. And then the next day we go out again. Sometimes we've done that a couple times, and some of you have done that as well. And then of course, the selfie haircut. Yeah, the selfie haircut. And so I cut my own hair, and Jen helped. And so I said, let's live stream this. And she said, we are not live streaming this, and it's probably a good thing. And afterwards, she says, a good thing we didn't live stream. Now, Jen, she doesn't like swear or cuss or anything like that, but I was. No, I'm just kidding. No, I wasn't. But here's what I'd like for you to do. No, so Jason invited you to kind of send in your gathering photos to info@gatewayfellowship.com. So would you do that? Or if you have my mobile number, would you just like snap a photo right now and just text it to me, or send it in info@gatewayfellowship.com? But here's what I'd like for you to do. If you have a selfie cut, take a picture of it and send it in. Even if it was one of your kids, okay, a selfie cut, and send it in, and we, you know, you should just share that with everybody. Yesterday, we had almost 80 cars drive through our drive-through photo booth. So, socially distant, right? Everybody did really, really, really well, and we had our Easter Bunny with the quarantine mask thing out there. It was so much fun. Honestly, before we opened up, there were cars lined up out onto the street, and they never stopped. But speaking of social distance, some of you broke the rules. I know who you are, and you're listening even right now, because you drove out and then you parked in the parking lot. Now, you were careful, and you kept the distance, and you did all that thing. But there's something, isn't it, that we crave just being together. We crave community. We don't like being socially distant, most of us. I read that some people are getting like, I think it was like a week or 2 weeks or more per gallon of gas for your car, because they're just not going anywhere. And so here's the deal, you see here. So I'm getting like a month per pack of Tic Tacs. A month per pack of Tic Tacs. So that's like, they're going to last a long time. So, because like socially distant, right? You don't need any of them. But listen to this story. It's about a Russian cosmonaut, and I will butcher his last name, but Sergei Krikalev, something like that. He says, I don't know if you ever heard the story or not, but he was a Russian cosmonaut who the Soviet Union sent into space back in 1991. Here's what happened. while he's circling the Earth in the space station is like, especially for extroverts, like your worst nightmare comes true. His country went basically out of business and it dissolved. And some of you might even remember that literally. So they struggled to form a new country all the time. Sergei was circling the Earth. I mean, there was no one to bring him home. He circled the Earth 311 days. That's social distance right there. 311 days. And after 311 days, like, the country got back, different type of country, but they came back, different leadership, and so on. And they brought Sergei home. When he went into space, his salary, his remuneration was like in the top level, the 95th percentile or something like that. When he came back, literally, they hardly could even afford to put a meal on the table. It was a whole new level of quarantine. Like, in just a moment, his life shifted radically. Maybe we can relate just a little bit to that today. Here's what I want to point out. While there's a lot different today, and I mean, this building is empty. In fact, I took a photo of an empty lobby today, and I'm thinking, I can't wait till we're back together, but things are different. Though it's different and we're socially distant, the message of today, the message that we celebrate today of Easter, has been the same for nearly 2,000 years, and it has nothing to do with social distance at all. I want to talk about that. While we hope and we wait for a return to maybe some type of normal lifestyle where our social distance is, you know, like it's no longer the 6-foot thing, and you know, huggers can hug again, and high-fivers will high-five again, and extroverts, you know, will kind of give that, you know, from a little bit of a distance, but maybe a little bit less than six. But I'm so looking forward to that day when we don't have to do the drive-bys or the coffee meets, you know, in the parking lot 6 feet away. I'm so looking forward to that when man sets that aside. But today we celebrate Easter hope that dealt with another distance, sin distance. Think about that. We're living in social distance now, but we were born in the sin distance. At some point, right, our country leaders will say, okay, the social distance is over, and we'll come together. And man will deal with that. But while man was responsible for sin distance, man could do nothing about the distance that we created. Nothing. Just think about this for a moment. Just think about what would happen if you had to live, or if I had to live, socially distant like we are right now. Like, for some of us, like, we'd go nuts, wouldn't we? I mean, living in isolation, I understand maybe some people are like okay with that, but most of us would just go berserk. We go nuts. But what if we had to live with sin distance as a reality? The reality of no hope. The reality of life without Jesus. A reality of someday no suffering or no pain. What if we had to live in that reality? You see, for followers of Jesus, we celebrate that sin distance has been broken by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Today we celebrate that gap has been eliminated. Friday, we paused. We thanked God for sending his son, Jesus. Today, we celebrate. Let me take us to the scripture, Matthew chapter 27, back to this part of the Easter story for a moment. Matthew 27, verses 57 through 66. You might want to get your Bible, or you can just listen in. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." So Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." I think God kind of chuckled at that moment. But anyway, so they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. You see, this was to be the end. It was over. After all, the tomb is where they put dead people. You don't put people who are alive in a tomb. A tomb was never meant to house the living. A tomb is a repository. It's for the remains of the dead. That's it. Remember the story of Lazarus just not long before Jesus went to the cross in John chapter 11? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said to Mary, or to Martha, the sister of the dead man, "Take away the stone." And Martha said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." You see, a tomb is for dead people. But Jesus says, "Move that stone away." And Jesus calls Lazarus by name, and he comes out. And it's been suggested, and I think it's probably true, that Jesus really had to call out Lazarus by name, because if he would have just said, "Come forth," and then all the graves would have opened up, and you can just imagine that. But he calls Lazarus by name, and the grave released him. I was reading that story again, and I found myself thinking about Jesus, and you know, he wept in those moments. But I wondered in that moment if he wasn't just looking ahead to his own death and resurrection. I wonder if that wasn't what was on his mind, perhaps part of the weeping. The cross is just a few days away. But there's something to note in this story of Lazarus. When he comes out, Jesus gives a command to remove the grave clothes and let him go. Remove those grave clothes. He is not dead. He's alive. It was a sign that the grave had been defeated by the one who has power over death. Now, let's go back to the tomb of Jesus where he was placed after the crucifixion. Back to the Easter story. Back to Matthew. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Remember, dead people are in tombs. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Here are those words that every follower of Jesus cherishes. "He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay." And I can just imagine in my own mind, the angels are going to look, "Come, come quick, come, come. You got to see it. See the place where he was, where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." I mentioned it Friday night. I want to say it again today. He'll quote a Max Lucado. He said the tomb was a tomb of a transient. He only went in to prove he could come out. It was a tomb of a transient. You see, the tomb, which was to be the end, now becomes the beginning. The tomb, which represented death and finality, now becomes a symbol of life. The sin distance is closed. The tomb, which represented mourning, mourning, now represents joy. The tomb, which represented the end of life, now becomes a bridge to a brand new life. And I don't know if you've ever have thought of the tomb as a bridge, but I began to think about it, and that's what came to my mind. You see, a bridge gets you to some place you would not otherwise be able to go. Just think about it. So we cross the Agate Pass Bridge out here. We cross 520. We go across bridges. We're hiking. We're walking. A bridge gets us to some place we would not otherwise go. Just think about the tomb for a moment. The death and resurrection of Jesus as a bridge, closing that sin gap, getting us to a place that we could not otherwise go because we cannot do it on our own. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You've stood on one side of the bridge, and when you were seeking to go to the other side, you took steps and you crossed over. It was that bridge that took you to that place. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. His death, his resurrection closed the sin distance that existed because of man. He says, now you can enter a brand new life. The story of Lazarus back there, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus has become our path, our bridge to everlasting life. Through his death and through his resurrection, we're able to come into a brand new life that we could not otherwise do on our own. A new life and a new destiny. But you got to cross the bridge. Can't do it on our own. We have to place our faith and trust in Jesus. How's all this going to turn out? You know, what we're experiencing right now, I don't know. I was searching the other day just to see if there were some indication of how long the social distancing is going to happen. I don't think any of us know. What will the economy be like when it's all over? I don't think we know. And and Jen and I were just talking the other day, like, what's it going to be like? I mean, there are people out without jobs, and there are people aren't working, and their families in distress. I don't know how it's all going to work out. Someone said this: there's only one thing you can be sure of: death and taxes, right? Death. And taxes. But in the midst of all of this uncertainty that we're in right now and trying to figure this thing out, there's one thing that we are certain of. The tomb is empty. He's alive today. And it's through his life that we can experience a brand new life and a brand new hope. Are all of our fears and worries instantly removed? I've never suggested that, would never suggest. That's why I like the Psalms so much, because in the Psalms, we see the psalmist struggling with fear and struggling with worry, but then coming to that place of hope that's found in Jesus. Psalm 56, verses 8 through 9 just says this: you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call on you. And you can name your enemy right now. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's worry. You can name your enemy. My enemy, the psalmist says, will retreat when I call on you, this I know, God is on my side. God is on my side. It's a brand new life with the hope of eternity with Him. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but this morning, there's just two groups of people that I'm speaking to. One group is a group that raises a hallelujah and raises a yahoo or woohoo because we know Jesus is alive. And regardless of what's taking place today and what's taking place, we know our hope and our future is certain. But there's another group of people, and maybe you've just kind of logged on and you're joining us and you're not so sure. You've never placed your trust or your faith in Him. You're a little fearful because when it comes to this word hope, you know, it's just kind of confined into what's happening daily today. You're just not sure about the future. I want to pray a salvation prayer for you. This is a virtual altar call. And here's what I do know. That regardless of where you are today, if you're sitting in your home or you're sitting in a trailer or whatever, that if you just lift your voice to Him and cry out to Him, Jesus will give you a brand new hope, a place to go to when those fears and worries come in, and a certainty for the future. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give thanks, and I'm going to lead us in a salvation prayer, and I'm going to ask you, to just pray that prayer with me. Or if you're considering, if you have questions about Jesus, I'm going to tell you how to respond in just a few moments. But can we just pause right now? And then when I get to this prayer that says, Jesus, I trust in you, I just invite you. Let's join together, shall we? Father, I give you thanks today. We raise a hallelujah. We give you thanks and we give you praise because that gap, sin distance that we could do nothing about has been forever closed through your death and your resurrection, through your life. Jesus, we thank you for that. And we join with followers all across this world today saying thank you for the hope that we have in you. And if you're here and you're joining me this morning, you're not so sure, would you just join me in this prayer? Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for giving me of my sins and giving me, thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Amen. It's just making Jesus Lord of your life. It's turning control of your life over to Him and trusting Him. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, then you are a brand new person. You've crossed that bridge into a brand new life and into a brand new hope. I'd like for you to do something. There's a number on your screen, 360-209-8040. And would you just text to that number, just the word today, 360-209-8040. Would you just text, if you prayed that prayer with me, or you have questions about Jesus, what it means to live for Him, will you text today to that number? And our team will get back to you. We want to help you in this brand new life. Amen.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to
to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested in my life,
washes over me.
so good to be able to worship with you guys. If you could do us a favor real quick, we just want to say thanks so much for joining us, and we just want to stay connected with you. And if you go to gatewayfellowship.com and go to the online services, or maybe you're using that right now, you'll see right above me that there is the button that says connect. I want to invite you to take a moment to click that and let us know that you're joining. And you can see that there's a couple different options that are there. When we get those, we would love to just take a moment to connect with you, ask how we can help. We have teams of people that are praying for people, and we love to be able to call and pray with you and ask how any way that we can help. But we need to know that you're there. So thanks so much for doing that. We really appreciate it. We're going to take an opportunity to give, and before I pray, just wanted to let us know, obviously, we're not passing buckets or anything like that, but we do have some ways to give online. Again, you can use that give button that's right above there, or another thing that you can do, if you happen to, as you're sitting at home or wherever you might be, I just encourage you, invite you to pull out your phone, and what you can do is you can just text that number that's right below me there, 360-209-8040, and just text the word give in there. And when you do, there'll be opportunities that you'll see come up, a link that can be used to join us in giving. We just appreciate how faithful you guys have been. I just saw again today as one of the team members had gone through, people have just continued to drop off your tithes and your offerings at the church. I just love how committed you are to seeing the mission of God continue to happen through this church. So I want to say thank you so much for doing that. We want to encourage you to continue to do that. And maybe for you, this joining in this way of texting as a way to give, this is your first opportunity to join us in that. And if so, I just want to say that's such an awesome thing to do. And I know as times are tough and many of us are in a spot where we're uncertain about the future, this is a great opportunity just to step out and see what the Lord does as we continue to be faithful. And so I'm going to pray, and I invite you to join me in that. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you sent your Son, and that the message of today is that your Son has risen and it has given us new life and new hope. And because of that, Lord, we want to give that message away. And so, Lord, we pray that even as we text in, even as some of our bank accounts are already set up to give recurring gifts, Lord, we want to gift back to you. We want to give back to your kingdom in a way that says thank you for the gift that you've given to us and giving us life and not staying in the grave, so that we could come to know the truth and the love of who Jesus is and to share that with the world around us. So I want to say thanks so much, God, for the opportunity to give to your kingdom work. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, again, I want to say thanks so much for your giving. And just wanted to also let you know that we do have groups that are going on right now. Just because we're not able to meet face-to-face, many, if not most of our groups are now online, and we have the availability to meet in that way. And so you can use, if you're on Gateway Fellowship, you can just go to our groups page and find one of our different groups there. Or as you see below, all you got to do is text that same number and type in the word group, and then we'll be able to join one of our groups that way. It's been amazing to see people who have found themselves saying, you know what, I really feel isolated. I'd like to be in community, and I'm just not sure what to do or how to do it. I'm telling you, our groups are a great way to do that. So I want to encourage you to take that step. It'll be a game changer for you, in particular during this time. So thanks so much. We look forward to seeing you next week.
And next week we begin or continue our series, Out of the Psalms, Prayers of Life. I'm going to be taking you to one of my most favorite psalms next Sunday. So be sure to join us 9 or 10:30, or remember the archive videos if you go to gatewayfellowship.com and you go to online campus. There are all the teaching and all the services are archived there, so you can stream those at your most convenient time. So next Sunday, Prayers of Life, study of the other Psalms continues. Thank you so much for being with us. He is risen. He is risen indeed. God bless you.
This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.